Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Red Men News for Monday, the 28th of October. Yep, thank you very much. My name is Ben Kelly. Joining me is Ross Chanley. We are, as always, backed by The Athletic for today. They are the greatest, one of the greatest sports websites on the internet at the moment, with a host of great Liverpool writing from the likes of Simon Hughes, James Pearce. No annoying ads or pop-ups, which is by far the best bit. For the best and latest Liverpool news, including exclusive content from those guys, basically you can start a 30-day free trial right now and get 50% off your yearly subscription right this second. You just head over to theathletic.co.uk/redmentv to get that offer. And Ross, we are starting with an article from The Athletic, not from Simon Hughes or James Pearce.
You nearly nailed that as well.
Yeah, well,
you brought it beautifully up from the laptop.
That's the way it is. Yeah. Not from one of those guys, but actually from David Ornstein. Who, as if you're not already aware, was a journalist at the BBC. He's now moved to The Athletic. He seems to be starting like a new weekly sort of column. Ornstein on Monday, basically, what is happening at your club? He's talked a little bit about Arsenal and the shortlist of names that they had to replace Arsene Wenger before they signed Unai Emery. But when he's talking about Liverpool, this is quite interesting. He was talking about, basically, at the moment, some of the fallout from the court case last week. Obviously, New Balance losing out to Nike for the battle to make Liverpool's kits, essentially. But on the back of that, it looks as if New Balance are going to suffer a little bit more because Jurgen Klopp and Sadio Mane are expected to basically leave them as well. So he does say here that in the meantime, on top of being part of Liverpool's deal, the players and staff are all included and basically signed to New Balance as well. Klopp has a personal endorsement with New Balance dictating that when he is in a sporting or lifestyle environment, he must wear their gear, a hoodie and footwear, for example. High fashion and formal wear are not included. And I think, Ross, this is why we see like the manager's collection like unveiled every year by Liverpool and all that. But basically, Ornstein's basically saying here that Klopp and Mane are basically going to jib them off as well and go to Nike. And I think it's just, you know, there's going to be quite a little bit of a process now of our athletes as well moving across to this ultimately superior brand.
Yeah, it's obviously a marketing trick that people use to get people in. I was spoke about it last week with Paul or Chris. You know, that's how, you know, Beats started out, and it was an idea, and they basically just handed them out to loads of people and went, just wear them for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like subliminal marketing that people wear. And obviously Klopp being a, you know, as high profile as he is, you know, it's almost like, maybe not iconic, but it's certainly up there when you see a picture of Jurgen Klopp on the sidelines. Usually first look, you look at his traps, and it's New Balance and stuff like that. So it's a massive sucker punch to New Balance, I think. You know, not only to deal with Liverpool, but to lose the likes of those as well. You know, Sadio Mane in his own right is massive.
Yeah,
you know, as a brand and what he's come through, and I think, you know, he starts getting noticed for things like the Ballon d'Or, which obviously makes, you know, other clubs, fans of other clubs, appreciate who he is. And, you know, we've seen, you know, marketing clothes or branded clothes.
Yeah,
that's potential money that New Balance are going to miss out on, as well as the deal that he missed out on last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, by the way, genuinely, we're not being told to say this, but this is genuinely what I really like about The Athletic, because you get bits and bobs of like really interesting, intricate details. Like, this is the sort of stuff that I wouldn't be reading anyway. And, you know, Ornstein's obviously got the sources and put together a really, really nice article about all this. So,
and you don't spend 5 minutes trying to click off adverts.
Exactly, as we've just tried to do to load the rest of the articles, which we'll now go on to. So, Mohamed Salah and Virgil van Dijk injury update yesterday in Liverpool's win over Tottenham. Obviously, obviously Salah was brought off. He had an ankle ice pack on his ankle after the game. And Virgil van Dijk also did as well, even though he managed to play the full 90. Joe Gomez came on replacing... replacing Salah, with, I think, with about 10 minutes to go, wasn't it?
Block notifications.
That's a good shout. Thank you very much. So essentially, Klopp basically spoke after the game, and it sounds like it's kind of good news. He said Virgil's got a dead leg; it's painful, but he'll be fine. And Moses' ankle, it gets sore the longer the game goes on, but it's not a massive issue. I think the concern here, Ross, and what Klopp was being asked about was whether this is now beginning to become a recurring injury for Salah. Obviously, the Choudhury tackle didn't help matters, but obviously. Missed the Man United games, come back in for Genk and Tottenham. For this to resurface again is a bit of a concern, especially with Man City in a couple of weeks. I imagine the protocol will be he's rested on Wednesday and we'll see how he is for Villa, but the target at the moment for Klopp has to be to get him fit for that City game.
Yeah, I think when you look at what Liverpool have done with, you know, other injuries, maybe like long term, like your Oxlade-Chamberlain, Alisson was obviously a bit longer, our medical staff and Klopp are, you know, they're very good at not just chucking players in for the sake of doing it. They'd rather take those precautions so they don't get a recurring injury. I think it's actually a bit of a different case with the Choudhury tackle was obviously a bit more aggressive and obviously hurt Salah. But I think, you know, whatever happens, because he has 3-4 people challenging him every game, at any one time, you know, he's susceptible to getting kicked and injured and stuff. So maybe it's just a precaution. I'm with you. I say, you know, give him a rest on Wednesday against Arsenal and, you know, see how we are at Villa as well. And then obviously... City's the big one, isn't it? You want to focus on, but again, you can't just write off Aston Villa. And I don't
no, you can't, and you shouldn't. But also, you know, you look at it's an international break after Man City, so you get into that game and you get him play, and then he's got another 2 weeks then as a rest, hopefully. Yeah. You know, and he's not quite as intensely involved with all the training and Premier League games, and then you come back, and I can't remember who we've got after the Man City game. To be honest, I've not thought that far ahead, but hopefully then he's fully recovered.
Trust Liverpool to look at through and use him wisely, to be honest. But the only other problem is, like, you know, I said, not to take Aston Villa for granted. We've seen it with Origi, like the drop-offs, you know.
Massive,
Yeah, and that's not a discredit to Origi. You've got to appreciate how often. And the knock-on effect it has on the other two as well, because you see it when Firmino doesn't play. You know, the other two are kind of out of sync, so... We'll see.
Let's move on to some transfer news, some ingoing transfer news. And yes, given... the fact that Liverpool are now going to be associated with Nike from next season. We are jumping on the Mbappe 2020 train. That was number one UK trending the other day on Twitter. I thought that was fantastic. Imagine Mbappe sat on his phone going, what are you talking about?
What hasn't helped this was Paul Joyce a couple of months ago.
It's retweeting that thing. Yeah, it was mad.
He knows
what he's doing. Jurgen Klopp, Jurgen Klopp saying he's already put in the groundwork for Liverpool to sign Kylian Mbappe. So, look, it's nothing fresh, it's nothing majorly fresh, but he was talking about basically when Mbappe first made the move from Monaco to PSG, Klopp basically spent hours on the phone to him then, talking about how he should move to Liverpool. And, you know, say here, before Mbappe secured a move to PSG, he was one of the most sought-after players on the market. French publication L'Équipe stated how Mbappe was charmed by the eloquence and enthusiasm of Klopp. Basically, he talked for hours on the phone, trying to get him, convince him to come to Liverpool at the time. It's a massive thing now, Ross, isn't it? That, you know, it seems to be picking up some momentum, like BT... posted a picture about it, loads of bits and bobs.
Obviously, Fabinho used to play with him. He got asked who he plays on FIFA, and he went to the European Champions of Liverpool. And I don't think you can't help but be excited by it, can you? It could all be nothing.
It could all be nothing. But at the same time, I think somebody was saying that then, and the name escapes me, but there was somebody quite prevalent in the game the other day saying that right now, if he wants to cement himself as one of the greats, he actually needs to move away from PSG, because obviously it's a one-team league. Like, if you want, obviously he won the World Cup with France, but, you know, he needs to go and win the Champions League and maybe do bits for other teams as well. Liverpool right now are an ideal destination to go and further his career in English football.
I think the other thing that might have added to it as well is the fact that Liverpool didn't really spend in the summer. You know, sadly saved some money up for Mbappe. We have some technical issues here.
Yeah.
What's up, Tom?
Tom, is everything okay, mate?
What's up, mate?
I
got that. You know, Liverpool didn't spend big in the summer. They saved up money for Mbappe, for Fabinho to play with him. He plays Liverpool on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think there was reports last week that he's not wanting to extend his contract. Yeah. And I think DiMaggio may have linked Spurs with him, funnily enough, or Spurs inquired about him.
Yeah.
Or something happened last week.
He's not going to Spurs, though, is he?
But no, but anything. But then you also have to think Liverpool, you know, we speak about the front three quite a lot. Of, you know, they're all like 27, 28. Mm. You know, you've got to prepare for 2-3 years' time. Yeah. What happens if, you know, one of them eventually leaves or whatever, and you've got to have Mbappe come through. Yeah. I mean, I'm on the Mbappe and Sancho train. Just get both of them.
Let's get both of them. Because I think, personally, I think Mo Salah has got two seasons left in at Liverpool. I think this season, next season, and then you potentially look to move him on. So then you get people coming in to replace them. And if you can get them in this summer and have them all in and around the squad, and they've got a summer to bed in, when Mo Salah does eventually move on, or even Sadio Mane, you know, unfortunately, it's something that we've got to think about, then you've already got those players in there who are going to make a long-standing impact. Anyway, moving on. It's just a smaller story. Actually, these are one of my favourite articles to do because it's translated from some random Portuguese Brazilian one. Basically, Flamengo are looking towards signing our midfielder Alan Rodriguez, who basically has struggled to basically get a work permit to work in the country. Flamengo is already moving towards next season. In this line, is interested in hiring the wheel Alan, former Inter, who is currently in Fluminense. The player belongs to Liverpool, the club that bought him from Colorado in the 2016 season for about €500,000. At the time, it was one of the highlights of the under-17 squad. Basically, this fella, he's quite a good young player. I think he's played for the youth side, but he's basically been on 1,000 loans to try and get a work permit. It's quite complicated the way the work permit system works in terms of like international appearances and time on the field and things like that. And it looks as if Liverpool are pretty much ready to cash in on him and just basically call it, cut the losses and cut the ties. And finally, something that we didn't cover last week that we probably should have done, but the Merseyside Derby, the Women's Merseyside Derby at Anfield, Ross.
I was meant to cover it, I'll put it in the agenda, to put it in the post.
Yeah.
So, Liverpool are playing Everton Ladies at Anfield. It's actually quite big, actually. And obviously, you head to the Liverpool Women's Twitter account, you can go and get your tickets. Yeah. I think it's free for season ticket holders, but you need to secure your tickets. £5 for, you know, just concessions and stuff like that.
It's selling quite well, actually. Yeah. They've opened up the lower Kenny on that side, and there's, you know, the tickets are going.
I think
it's a fantastic step forward. I mean, I'm really big advocate for women's football. I think it's fantastic. I think the way it's moving forward is brilliant. And I think this is
the girls,
know, particularly in our city, you know.
Girls, Lauren and Amy do an incredible job of covering it. You know, if you don't get it, go over to RMTV Women's Podcast and we'll get all their content as well. I'm sure they'll definitely be there for the game, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Tom, are we ready with some comments, mate?
Yes, we have a couple of super chats. Your mate Brent Pryor with a blue super chat. He says, Ben, when is Paul going to give you a pay rise?
I'm not the man to ask about that. You know, you'll have to message Paul. I am not looking for a pay rise in particular. I mean, it would be nice if I had one, but also, you know, everything's fine. So thanks very much.
There you go. Eth Sham Ul Hussan says, how much would we have to pay for Mbappe?
That's a really good question. You're looking at world record fees, aren't you?
Do you think?
I think so. Given how young he is.
Given the fact that he's running down his contract, doesn't want to sign anymore.
150 million then. Maybe not world record fees, but still 150. The small matter of 150 million to fork out.
But for the, like you said, the age that you have him, you get him from.
Yeah, it's mad.
The longevity you get out of that, everything else that comes with it. I know shirt sales don't want to necessarily pay for the player.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a massive chunk, and I think it helps secure what we were talking about before of having not a backup for the front three, but someone to rotate into that front three. Therefore, later on in the stages, one of them leaves, you've got someone just chucked straight into that team.
Yeah.
I think 150 million, but I'd pay that now.
I mean, you wouldn't personally.
Not me personally, no. Not unless Paul gave me a pay rise.
Tom.
Dave Harris just gave us £5.
Thank you very much.
Lee Stevenson says, isn't it strange that we spent no money this summer, almost like we're saving up for something or someone?
It's like when a new toy gets released at Argos and you're like, well, I won't buy.
You still shop at Argos?
Well, when you were a kid, and it's like Christmas presents and stuff. I won't buy me sweets and stuff this week. I'll save it, and then I'll have like the remote control Dalek that's just been released. That was me as a kid, and all the Doctor Who stuff that was for me. But go ahead.
Dave Harris just gave us another £5. I think he forgot to add a message in the first one. Thank you.
But
he said, let's dream for a second. What would Liverpool's best 11 be if Mbappe signed? What formation would we play, and who gets dropped?
I think you rotate. I think you need the four. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bang on best 11 that you're looking at anymore. I think it's, you know, there's so many games to play. Obviously, those guys have filmed the Umbu today for Arsenal, which will be going out on the Redmen TV YouTube channel. But they're talking about like whether Liverpool take this competition seriously. And at the moment, you know, Chris was saying he wasn't quite convinced that Liverpool had the squad to do that. These are the type of signs that make you, you know, capable of competing for the domestic trophies as well. Liverpool historically under Klopp haven't done well in the domestic cup competitions, and you know, these are the type of signings where, you know, if Mbappe comes in, he plays, you know, he plays the Tottenham game, and then, you know, Salah can come in for the other games and stuff like that. You rotate them regularly, which I think is what we need to do.
I think you look at, as much as you don't want to, you look at what City are doing, and you look at their bench and, you know, the type of people they've got on. I think, you know, they could have Bernardo Silva or De Bruyne on the bench, or Mahrez is probably the one that, you know, you play at the top to interchange that side. They've had Aguero on the bench for the past couple of games. You think of the quality that they've got. That's what you have to put yourself up against. And you look at our bench, you know, I wasn't slagging Wee off before. I think as a substitute, he's really good. But if you've got like an Mbappe or a Salah on the bench to bring onto a game, that's the standard you have to be at now, I think, isn't it?
Anyone more, Tom?
Yeah, one more. It's not really anything to do with the news that we've talked about today, but it's an interesting comment. Excellent finish, Mo Salah says, Trent will be one of the best centre mids in the league in 3 to 4 years' time.
It's interesting, this, because I was saying before, I don't know whether you were up there in the office, yesterday was the first time I kind of looked and I was like, fancy a bit of Trent midfield, you know. I think Carragher said after the game, and he was like, it's like having De Bruyne at right back. Yeah. But you wouldn't play De Bruyne at right back, you know what I mean? Like, he's that good. And I think Trent, you know, it depends. I don't know, you know, does he fit into a 4-3-3 or not? I don't know, but I just think maybe over the next 12, 18 months, you know, if we look at the likes of bringing another centre-back and playing Gomez at right-back, you know, I don't know how it would work, you know, bringing in a right-back, but the way Trent manipulates that football when he's on it.
Yeah, it also depends on Keanu Hoover as well. Now, he doesn't, and we watched him in Switzerland, and he was really good. And if he develops and turns good, you can then move Trent, but I wouldn't move him now. There's still questions over his defensive capabilities, which probably you think I'll just shove him in the field, he's have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But he's still 21, so he's got a lot to learn. I like him where he is. It works for us.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're down the other side, when, you know, Robbo's doing exactly the same thing down the other side, you know, it's dangerous, isn't it?
But, I mean, the key thing, just before we wrap up, is obviously that, you know, he's got so many years ahead of him. He can, even if he ends up moving to the midfield 25, 26, you know, that's when he's going to be heading into his prime. And you know, that's when you're going to get the best out of him. So maybe, you know, you stick out with him right back over the next few seasons. The likes of Lovren moves on, Matic probably move on in the next 4 years or so. And then, you know, you sign another centre-back or you bring in another right-back. And then
just put Mbappe or Santos there.
It will be fine. Right, and let's wrap up there, Ross. Thanks very much for watching, everybody. Don't forget to check out The Athletic. No annoying pop-ups or ads. The greatest Liverpool writing in the world from the likes of James Pearce and Simon Hughes. And you can get 50% off your yearly subscription and a 30-day free trial by going to theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV right now. We'll put the link in the description and in the comments, I think, as well. Thanks very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with more Red Men news. See you then. Goodbye.